Everyone, one more story for you on The Takeaway. Last week on the show, we talked about the New York Times Magazine's 1619 Project, which looked back at when enslaved Africans first arrived on the shores of Virginia in August 1619. It's a central moment in our nation's history, but some argue it overlooks the history of slavery outside the British Crown. In what's become present-day Florida, slavery dates back a full century before 1619, when the area was under Spanish rule. Chara Torres-Spellacy is a professor at Stetson Law School, and she recently wrote about expanding the history of slavery beyond the Anglo narrative, and she joins us now. Chara, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back, Tanzina.
So in your work, of course, you've praised the 1619 Project for its understanding of transatlantic slavery, but you think it left out an important piece, and that piece is slavery's early origins in what we now call Florida. Walk us through the beginning of slavery under the Spanish rule.
I indeed was very excited to see the New York Times tackle the history of slavery. I think this is important to understand American history and what I do, which is teaching constitutional law. But I do think that they missed a big chapter, which is Spanish slavery in Florida in the 1500s. So Florida is discovered and claimed by Spanish conquistadors, including Ponce de Leon, who was looking for the Fountain of Youth. He never found it because it doesn't exist, but that gave Spain this new territory. And so other conquistadors would bring African slaves on their conquests. Sometimes they were building settlements, like in St. Augustine, which was built by Spanish-speaking black slaves. And in other cases, the slaves were brought on conquests, like the conquests of DeSoto.
Now, let's talk a little bit about how it was different from or similar to what chattel slavery looked like in the 13 colonies.
Being a slave in the New World was miserable whether you were in Virginia or in Florida. So in that sense, I think it was very similar an experience from the point of view of the enslaved. I mean, one of the things that I thought was sort of interesting about the Spanish story is there were all of these instances of slaves running away from Florida, sometimes by boat. And there was also an early incident where the Spanish conquistadors are trying to make a settlement. It's in the 1520s. And there's a mutiny among the Spaniards. And then the African slaves actually burn down the housing of the Spaniards who were left. And then they leave and go and live with the Native Americans in the area. And stories like that, I think you miss if you start in Jamestown and in 1619.
Chara, why do we know so little about the scope of early slavery in Florida or present-day Florida? Why are these early black enslaved people essentially erased from our collective history? And of course, to say we know that there are many things that have been erased from our collective American history.
Well, a few reasons, I think. One, there is a tendency to tell American history through the lens of the original 13 colonies, and the original 13 colonies did not include Florida. So if you are starting with the Anglophone colonies, then you're sort of necessarily going to miss the Spanish-speaking world. Another problem, I think, is that things are in Spanish in Spanish history. And so if you're not multilingual, and I put myself in this boat, I only speak English. And so I had to learn this history sort of much later on. It was in the context of teaching constitutional law here in Florida. I had a student who asked me about slavery in Florida, and I started talking about Jamestown. I was like, that's not helpful to the student. And I did a little research, and that's when I sort of unearthed this whole treasure trove of this history of what was going on with African slaves under Spanish rule.
I'm wondering if this also extends to how the United States understands or does not understand the broader African diaspora below Florida and in the Caribbean and beyond.
Yes, indeed. And one of the reasons why I was ever interested in any of this was I knew that one of my great-great-grandmothers was a slave in Cuba. So she was a victim of this type of forced labor. And the other thing is we still haven't eradicated slavery from the world. There is still problems of human trafficking and forced labor. And so one of the reasons why I think it's important to get the history right is so that we can learn from it and perhaps apply it in the present day.
And just briefly, you are talking to us from Florida. Has the state itself today acknowledged its slaveholding past?
It did. It took them a long, long time. Florida became a state in 1845, and they became a state as a slave state. But it took until 2008 for the Florida legislature to really acknowledge the past of slavery in the state of Florida. And it's very easy to erase a slave from history. Many slaves were illiterate, and their life circumstances usually meant that they couldn't tell their own stories. So one of the things that I think is particularly important is the acknowledgement that Spanish-speaking Black slaves actually helped build the United States, including St. Augustine, which is one of the oldest cities in all of America. But if you don't know that Black slaves built that city, then you can, A, forget their contribution, and you might misjudge what it means to be a contributing member of society today.
Chara Torres-Spellacy is a professor at Stetson Law School and the author of Political Brands. Chara, thanks so much.
Thank you.